we return into this segment with the latest from Mumbai. Joining us now is Malini Agarwal, who's the Mumbai presenter at Radio 1 in Mumbai, and she's on the scene there in Mumbai. Also, to help give us some context here is Shumit Ganguly, who's a professor of political science at Indiana University, joining us on the line from Bloomington, Indiana. Shumit, thanks for joining us. Malini, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Malini, let's begin with the situation in Mumbai. We're getting reports on the wires and seeing some sort of sketchy television images of a major explosion taking place at the Chabad Center, the Jewish center there in Mumbai. What can you tell us?
Well, the very latest is that they finally cleared the entire Trident Oberoi, and they've managed to get all the terrorist sites. They, in fact, actually let some people in. Apart from that, the Taj, they're saying that their encounter is on the last stage right now. There's still some firing. Unfortunately, a passerby, I think somebody from the media, was shot in the back as a stray bullet hit him. And there's been some people injured in the crossfire. At Nariman House, there was an explosion on the same floor. What they're doing is they're sweeping each floor. They've come from the top. They were dropped by helicopters, the commandos, and they've been working their way down to the first floor where apparently the terrorists are hold out. They're not saying they don't know exactly how many, two or three is what they're claiming. But the frightening thing is that, you know, all the papers will say that they have enough ammunition to continue this for a day if they wanted to. They're highly motivated and very scary people to be facing in this time. Like 36 hours later, they're still firing away. Every few half an hour, there's an explosion at Nariman House. But it appears to be coming to a close. At least that's what we're hoping.
Well, Shumit Ganguly, we were speaking with two analysts earlier in the hour, one former ambassador from Pakistan, the other a security analyst with more of an Indian perspective. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, it was difficult for those people to restrain their sense of accusations and bitterness over who's responsible, who needs to do what to whom. And I was left feeling in that conversation that there's almost no way that this isn't going to increase in the short term tensions between India and Pakistan. What's your view?
I'm afraid it will. There's no question about it, particularly because one of India's most respected newspapers, The Hindu, yesterday reported that one of the people who have been captured alive, one of the terrorists who has been captured alive, is a Pakistani national. And also the Bombay police are insisting that the members of the terrorist group were linked to a Pakistan-based terrorist group called the Lashkar-e-Taiba, which has wreaked havoc in India in the past, particularly in the disputed state of Jammu and Kashmir. Even if there's a shred of evidence that links these attacks to Pakistan, I'm afraid Indo-Pakistani relations will take a deep plunge in the foreseeable future.
Is that to say there's almost an irresistible sort of impulse on the part of India to retaliate in some way? Or is there a sense that perhaps both sides, India and Pakistan, could do something jointly that would rise above this? Because as we both know, there are constituencies in both India and Pakistan that would love to see chaos unravel.
That is exactly right. But the curious thing is that India has invited the head of Pakistan's Inter-Services Intelligence Agency, the agency that India has frequently accused of fomenting discord and violence in India, that he should be sent to India, and the Pakistan government has readily agreed to do this. So this might be an effort to try and diffuse a potentially explosive situation.
Can the governments, I mean, are these governments in a situation of stability where they can take the high road here? I know the Pakistani government is a fledgling step away from military rule. It's a little different in India there.
It is going to be hard for these governments to take the high road. Already, the Pakistanis are disavowing any claims and simply sort of portraying themselves as victims of terror. And this is not likely to go down very well in India. And the worst part of it, in India, the Manmohan Singh government faces elections today in the capital area of New Delhi, in the state of Madhya Pradesh, which is a large central province in India. in a couple of days, and then faces national elections next year. And the Bharatiya Janata Party, which is a kind of a jingoistic party, which has no particular fondness for Pakistan, has taken out almost quarter-page ads in major newspapers in New Delhi saying that this government is utterly inept at dealing with terror, and they're trying to make hay out of this rather tragic situation.
So at the very least, Shumit, the election rhetoric is going to spike upwards and call for retaliation and violence and a harder line on terror in India.
If not for retaliation, certainly a harder line. There's no question about it in my mind. And very soon, the rhetoric might be ratcheted up further. We haven't seen that happen yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that were to take place.
Well, Shumit Ganguly, thanks so much for helping to set this in context. Malini Agarwal, I want to give you the last word here. You're a radio programmer. Are you on the air tomorrow, or is it Monday?
I'm usually on air Monday to Thursday, but I'm also the programming director, so we spent the whole day, the day that I came back out at 6 a.m. from Dragonfly near the Trident, we were actually at the station the whole day, and we're trying to communicate a message of one Mumbai and, one spirit, and to everyone coming together, we're trying to get as much information out so people don't panic.
So how do you deliver that message? What's your first hit on Monday morning to try to deliver that one Mumbai message?
Well, we've been doing it since yesterday. We've been trying to communicate how people can donate blood, where they can go, call helpline numbers for the Taj and for the Trident, call outs for people who need information and help, finding other people because the phone lines are jammed, and a chance for people to share their experiences and stories because there's a lot of people who are just stunned. And really, I think the show of solidarity where they can share their experiences with each other is helping people come together and feel that one spirit and one Mumbai. And since we're no stranger to this experience, unfortunately, it's become even more highlighted and worse this time. It is a reminder of how Mumbai came together during the floods and the train blast and the attacks in 93 as well.
Well, Malini Agarwal, you have your work cut out for you as a radio
Absolutely.
Programmers. Sort of a hand extended across the airwaves here to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And also thanks again to Shumit Ganguly, a political science professor at Indiana University, joining us from Bloomington, Indiana. And we leave you with more voices from Mumbai.
Consistent, continuous firing, just random, and then it basically stopped after a while, and obviously a few people thought it was clear, it started moving again. The gunman was still on the premises and started shooting again, and then people sort of just hid again behind whatever cover they could have, and that's when he headed towards one corner of the bar and saw me and a number of others at the back, and then just opened fire on us.
Like the people of Mumbai, our mission is to figure out what happens next. We're always on at The Takeaway. We'll be following this developing story in Mumbai that had left 140 dead, more than 300 wounded. If you missed anything, go to our podcast. You can subscribe at thetakeaway.org.